Good morning and welcome, everybody. It's lovely to see you who have made it here on this beautiful sunny day and have not been waylaid by cream teas or football or cricket or other such things. The few in number are loved and cherished by the Lord, so it's great to have you all here, even if I will have to preach from the middle of church to get to you. A couple of notices just to begin. On a slightly bittersweet, but I think joyful note, I've had a lovely card from Sarah Brown, the daughter of Joyce Veacock, wanting to say a very big thank you to so many people that turned out for Joyce's funeral. The family, who've all lived at a bit of a distance, knew that she was always valued for church, but they really appreciated seeing that the church had valued her. So she offers her thanks for that. And I also want to say thank you on behalf of Peter and the family for everyone that came on Thursday for such a wonderful send-off to say goodbye to such a wonderful person in Eve. Bittersweet moments in our church life as we say goodbye to people who have been a big part of things, but positive moments because we continue moving forwards, living and worshipping in the faith that they shared with us. We're going to continue exploring that faith beginning on Wednesday, those that would like to come. At 7:30 in the sanctuary, we'll be beginning a course exploring the Apostles' Creed. It's 5 sessions taking us over the summer period, a period where I know people might not be able to commit to every session. So it'll be broken down all the way through, and if you miss a session or you miss most of the sessions, that's absolutely fine. Come along to whatever you would be interested in, because it's not really about finding out more about the Apostles' Creed, though hopefully that will be an encouragement to us. But it's an opportunity to reflect on our faith together and to have those conversations and to explore things. So please do come along. They'll be running from this coming Wednesday through to the end of August, 7:30 at the sanctuary across the road. I feel like I had one more notice. I've completely forgotten it. So we will stand and start by singing our first hymn, I Am Amazed When I Stand in the Presence of Jesus the Nazarene. The Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and thank you. How wonderful, how marvelous is my Saviour's love for me. We meet in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Would you please be seated? Our Lord Jesus Christ said, the first commandment is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. Lord, have mercy. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor, in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our collect prayer for this, the ninth Sunday after Trinity. Almighty God, who sent your Holy Spirit to be the life and light of your church, open our hearts to the riches of your grace, that we may bring forth the fruit of the Spirit in love and joy and peace, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us remain seated as we hear from the Bible.
The Old Testament reading is taken from the second book of Samuel, chapter 11, beginning to read at verse 1. In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful, and David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, "She is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam and the wife of Uriah the Hittite." Then David sent messengers to get her. She came to him, and he slept with her. Now she was purifying herself from her monthly uncleanness. Then she went back home. The woman conceived and sent word to David, saying, "I am pregnant." So David sent this word to Joab, "Send me Uriah the Hittite." And Joab sent him to David. When Uriah came to him, David asked him how Joab was, how the soldiers were, and how the war was going. Then David said to Uriah, "Go down to your house and wash your feet." So Uriah left the palace, and a gift from the king was sent after him. But Uriah slept at the entrance to the palace with all his master's servants and did not go down to his house. David was told Uriah did not go home. So he asked Uriah, "Haven't you just come from a military campaign? Why didn't you go home?" Uriah said to David, "The ark and Israel and Judah are staying in tents, and my commander Joab and the Lord's men are camped in the open country. How could I go to my house to eat and drink and make love to my wife? As surely as you live, I will not do such a thing." Then David said to him, "Stay here one more day, and tomorrow I will send you back." So Uriah remained in Jerusalem that day and the next. At David's invitation, he ate and drank with him, and David made him drunk. But in the evening, Uriah went out to sleep on his mat among his master's servants. He did not go home. In the morning, David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it with Uriah. In it, he wrote, "Put Uriah out in the front where the fighting is fiercest. Then withdraw from him, so he will be struck down and die." This is the word of the Lord.
The New Testament reading is taken from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 3, beginning to read at verse 14. "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." This is the word of the Lord.
Paul prays that God may grant us to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in our inner being. And so let us sing our next hymn, number 1547, "There Must Be More Than This."
Passion for your name.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a large crowd was following him, because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then, and seeing that a large crowd was coming towards him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread, that these people may eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to have even a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." Perceiving that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were frightened. But he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Then were they glad to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you please be seated? Paul's letters are always tricky, and I say this again and again. It's not because what he says is hard to understand, though sometimes it is, but it's because everything he says in our reading always starts with something that refers to what he has said before. And you get to that bit, and you see that it starts with a therefore or because of this. And before you know it, I'm reading you the whole of Ephesians, and we're here until lunchtime tomorrow. I will try not to do that. But he says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family on heaven and on earth is named." Well, what is it that he is saying is for this reason? We go back to the previous bit, and again, for this reason, everything is flowing out of a source which is giving him an enthusiasm and joy as he writes to us. When we trace it back, we find it comes to its pinnacle in the previous chapter, Ephesians 2. He's talking about all of that Jesus has done to reconcile us with God, his passion on the cross and his resurrection from the dead, that we might no longer be aliens and strangers, but might be fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. For this reason, Paul is writing that we might have insight into the gospel. And for this reason, he is in prayer for the church. And some of my favorite parts in the Bible are those moments where people in the Bible pray for the people of God and pray for the church. Because it's a prayer from the Bible which applies, yes, to the people who lived then, but also to us who live now. John 17 is a great example of this, when Jesus prays specifically for the believers who will come to know him through the testimony of those who are with him now. That's us. And Paul isn't explicitly saying that this is us. He's writing to the Ephesians. But we are the church that have his letter, and we have it for a reason. Because the Holy Spirit wants us to know the words of truth that he was speaking through Paul, that they might be within our hearts. That is that God is himself our Father. What an amazing thing this is. And it says this in a beautiful wording, for whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. So many people hear about the Lord's Prayer saying, Our Father in heaven, and they find that a barrier to becoming a Christian because their experience of fathers is not always positive. Our family dynamics and relationships are often not ideal. If they are, then we are blessed and we struggle in other ways. But for many, relationships with our parents can be very difficult. And sometimes if we try and think of God as being a father in the example that we have known it, of someone who beats us, someone who derides us, someone who mocks our dreams, or just constantly makes snide comments, then why would we want to love a father like that in heaven? But this is saying that it is the Father in heaven who gives that title to every family in heaven and on earth. He is the example of what a good father should be. And he is an example of a good father to his son, Jesus Christ, who becomes our brother, our sibling, the one whose inheritance we share. What Paul is saying then is that because of God our Father and the love he has for Jesus, we see the love he has for us. And this makes Paul so excited because he gives his son Jesus the riches of his glory and he shares that with us, granting that we should be strengthened with power through his Spirit in our inner being, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, that we might be rooted and grounded in love, that we may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. When we think of it in that term, we can hear Paul's excitement and his love for Jesus overflowing. And it rhymes with that beautiful passage in Romans 8. What can separate us? No height, no depth, nothing, no power in all creation. This exuberance, this power of God's love at work within us. And the power of God's love at work within us is so important for us to pursue and hold on to. Because the world around us may say that it is loving, but it teaches us and encourages us to respond in an attitude of fear. Are you worried about health? Are you worried about your finances? Are you struggling with family relationships? Do you see the news and feel despair about our political systems? Do you see the wars happening in Russia and Ukraine, Israel and Palestine? Those conflicts that are forgotten about in Sudan and Yemen and other places around the world? Our reaction to those things is to feel grief, sorrow, and anxiety. Maybe you saw the opening scenes from the Olympics the other day. Maybe you have seen online the sort of outrage and the commentary about one of the moments in that. If you didn't see it, there was a catwalk of various models, and they were all dancing and singing and doing different things. But there's a moment where it looks very much like the Last Supper, but with people who are not the kind of people that ought to be at the Last Supper. People as well known as Elon Musk have gone out saying that this wouldn't be allowed as a mockery of Islam. Why would we do it for Christianity? Christianity today has become toothless, is what Elon Musk said. But I think that that's putting us into a reaction of fear. It's putting us into a reaction of anxiety. And it's not embracing everything that we've just heard about the love of Jesus Christ that makes us co-heirs with Jesus, that fills us with love and strengthens us. Why should we be antagonized? Why should we be afraid? We have the love of God in Jesus Christ within us. Symbols are very important and very powerful. We've seen that in our gospel reading. Jesus is feeding the 5,000, a miracle which is clearly reminding people of Moses and the Israelites in the desert. God fed the Israelites with manna from the sky and the quails that came down, and they had just enough that they might get through that day, or if the Sabbath was happening, the next 2 days. And Jesus does this sign, and they say, "This is the prophet who is to come into the world." They see the symbol and they understand what it means, and they want to grasp it for themselves. And so what they do is they come to Jesus, and he perceives that they are about to take him by force to make him king. Jesus is king. Jesus Christ is Lord. He does not need us to grab our sticks and our swords and our clothes to rally up some kind of ragtag army and put him on the throne. He is the Lord of all creation. He will do things in his own timing. And so he steps away. The response to being fed by the grace of God is not to seize it and control it, but it's to embrace it, to be loved by it. We see this most clearly in what follows, where he walks on the water of the sea during the midst of the storm which is for us the storms of our life, the storms of the world around us. He walks on it as if it is solid ground. And when his disciples see him coming to them in this situation, they are terrified. He says, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Is this not the most beautiful phrase in the whole of the scriptures? And it's an important phrase because it's not just here. If you flick all the way through the Bible and you go through it, there's more than 360 occasions where God or a representative of God says, "I am the Lord, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Be one who is filled with love, strengthened in your inner being, filled with the Holy Spirit that unites you with Jesus Christ. You too can walk on the storms of your life in peace." That is the message coming through. So how should we respond when people seem to mock the Christian faith? Should we buy into the outrage culture that the internet is built upon? Or should we pray for those who are mocking us? Should we forgive those who are sinning against us? I think that when we look at Jesus' example, we see an example of the Lord of all creation who says, "No, I will not let you make me a king. I will do this my way. And my way is getting judged as a criminal. My way is getting mocked and beaten and spat upon. My way is getting crucified and dying so that you might not have any excuse or reason to hold yourself away from the love of God, because every barrier has been broken down through the weakness of humanity, restored in the resurrection by his divinity, so that we too might live in that strength and love. Paul says elsewhere that God chooses the foolish things of the world to defy the wisdom of men and rulers. So when we come to our reactions, let us, in that moment where we feel the heat of anxiety within our chest, that hint of offense come upon us, let us make the choice to live in love. Let us pray for those who mock us, and pray not only that they will see the light, but that they may become witnesses to who Jesus is. For he is able to do abundantly more than all we can ask or imagine. So let us use the opportunities where we are mocked as an invitation to pray for more than we can imagine, to see this world transformed from a place of fear, anxiety, and stress into one of peace, hope, and love. For as we have heard just the other day, faith, hope, and love are what remain through all things. And the greatest of these is love. The love of God for his Son, Jesus Christ, which is the love of God for his children, you and I, which is made known by his Holy Spirit upon us, letting Jesus live within our hearts. Let us hold on to that as we come for communion and taste afresh the promises of God's love for us. Let us live within the world like those who live amongst the storms, and hear the voice of Jesus say, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Amen.
Let us pray. We take a moment this morning to be quiet, away from our daily distractions, to focus on you and your presence with us now. You know each one of us, our joys and sorrows, our needs and fears. We know that your invitation to enter our lives is without reservation, not counting our flaws or measuring our worth. We have heard this morning an extract from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Lord, we acknowledge now that we know but a fraction of your love, too little to be able to understand, too little to be able to give back to you what we owe. Our prayer this morning echoes that of St. Paul, that by your grace we may understand more, and in understanding be filled with your Spirit. Your compassion was there for all to see in the miracles you performed, a forerunner of your ultimate sacrifice on the cross. Help us to be able to absorb and in turn pass on the richness of your love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We are reminded by your teachings that we must be generous and caring to our neighbours. You have given us a world where there is plenty for all, but our mismanagement has meant that many are trapped in poverty and hunger, while those with plenty risk becoming indifferent to their plight. Let us never forget that all we have is the gift of your hand alone, and that our duty to share in prosperity becomes ever greater. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray this morning for the victims of war and turmoil, those who are physically injured in conflict, those who are emotionally scarred in its wake. and to those who are persecuted for their desire to live their lives for you. Be with them all, Lord, and bring them comfort and endurance during dark days. We pray for those who are leaders and decision makers at both national and local level, that they will go about their work with wisdom and understanding of the needs of those for whom they have responsibility. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We ask for your blessing on church leaders locally and around the world. Here in the United Benefice, we hold up to you the work of those who have been chosen to minister here: Samuel, Graham, David, and Mary. Thank you for all who lead and serve in our churches and be a part of all our endeavours as a church fellowship. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our
prayer. We bring before you those who are in pain or any form of distress. There are many in our community who are known to be facing difficult times, but there will be some whose suffering is unknown. We thank you for those on the road to recovery and ask that you continue to hold them close. In a short moment of silence, we name anyone else who is on our hearts this morning. Lord, in your mercy,
hear
our prayer. Lastly, we hold out those loved ones who have died in recent days or whose anniversary falls at this time. In particular, we remember Eve, whose funeral was held this last week. We thank you for all their lives among us. Shield those of us who are left from the pain of grief, and help us to know the comfort that is your infinite love and compassion. Lord, in your mercy,
hear
our prayer. Give grace to us, our families and friends, and to all our neighbours, that we may serve you in one another and love as you love us. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
I invite you to stand and join with me in confessing our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. I have remembered what my notice was that I forgot. Would you please be seated just for a moment? Last Monday, we had an intercessory prayer training session, which was very good. We had about 13 people there, and we were able to encourage and support one another as we reflect through how we lead the prayers, much as Deborah has done this morning. She did a fantastic job. But I know that there was a number of people who weren't able to be there, and there were some people who perhaps thought that they would maybe come but weren't there. Although we had a lovely time, I will say there was only two people from St. Margaret's that came, and it would be lovely to do another session at some point for anyone who might be interested in taking part in leading our prayers. The reason why I'm harping on about this is because although I'm the one that gets to wear the fancy robes and do the communion at the front, we are a priesthood of all believers. Our faith is ours together, and our prayers and everything that we do in church, we do as the body of Christ. And yet, each of us has different talents and skills and gifts and perspectives, and we bring that with us when we lead the intercessions. Such that when we have Deborah, we have one style. When we have Jean, we have another style. When we have Roger, we have another way. And we are all the richer for it. And so if you are not part of the intercessions rota, and you're nervous or unsure, let me know. We'll put on another session and we'll give you the advice and talk you through it. You can ask Jean about it. She'll tell you that it was a good evening. And we'll do what we can to support and encourage you as we pray together. Because in truth, the worship that we do here is your worship, not my worship. I take part in what you're doing rather than the other way around. And it would be lovely to have some more people being involved in this ministry. Thank you. Would you please stand? God is love, and those who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Let us share with one another a sign of Christ's peace. Our next hymn is number 1222. our service continues on page 7. Would you please be seated? Almighty Father, we pray that as we come to this your table, that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, that we may be rooted and grounded in love. Amen. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Father, we give you thanks and praise through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, your living Word, through whom you have created all things, who was sent by you in your great goodness to be our Saviour. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he took flesh. As your Son, born of the Blessed Virgin, he lived on earth and went about among us. He opened wide his arms for us on the cross. He put an end to death by dying for us and revealed the resurrection by rising to new life. So he fulfilled your will and won for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord, you are holy indeed, the source of all holiness. Grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit and according to your holy will, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Great is the mystery of faith. Lord, by your cross and resurrection, you have set us free. You are the Saviour of the world. And so, Father, calling to mind his death on the cross, his perfect sacrifice made once for the sins of the whole world, rejoicing in his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and looking for his coming in glory, we celebrate this memorial of our redemption. As we offer you this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, we bring before you this bread and this cup, and we thank you for counting us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. Send the Holy Spirit on your people, and gather into one in your kingdom all who share this one bread and one cup, so that we, in the company of all the saints, may praise and glorify you forever, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory be yours, Almighty Father, for ever and ever. Amen. And so we pray as our Saviour taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts, by faith with thanksgiving. All are welcome to come to Laurel and to receive communion if they believe in God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If you would rather receive a blessing, keep your hands down, and I will be glad to bless you. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, preserve our body and soul unto everlasting life. The blood of Christ. Holy Father, who gathered us here around the table of your Son to share this meal with the whole household of God, in that new world where you reveal the fullness of your peace, gather people of every race and language to share in the eternal banquet of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. So let us stand and sing with joyful voices our final hymn, number 148.
Tread the verge of Jordan.
Gifts and those which are given by various other ways and means, that they may be taken and used for your glory. Amen. Thank you. Once again, distracted by the final hymn, to not notice them coming to the front. But what wonderful words. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Bid my anxious fears subside. Death of death and hell's destruction, land me safe on Canaan's side. Let us go out unashamed to be weak, unashamed to be fools, knowing that in Christ God is with us and shall glorify his holy name. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and the love of God, and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.